and Janet Brown, Peter Jones, Dr. Magnus Pike, Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. Well, as you've just heard, we have two of our regular competitors in the game, Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams, and we're delighted to welcome two guests, neither of whom has played the game before, which is quite an ordeal, Janet Brown and Dr. Magnus Pike. We wish them the best of luck. And as usual, we're going to ask them all if they can talk for just a minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And we'll begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is keeping fit. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, an awful lot of rubbish is talked about keeping fit, and I don't willingly want to add to it. But I must say, I hate all these mechanical aids, like rowing machines and similar contrivances, bicycles, which people have to work on in order to lose weight. Now, if they would only run round the block or make the beds or scrub the floors, it wouldn't be necessary to do that. I think also that a day in bed...
Magnus Pike,
yes,
you...
Well, could I say that if you are already thin... And if you lose weight, you wouldn't get fit. You'd get unfit, so that it might be considered to be whatever it is you consider to be.
What is the challenge, Pike?
What is the challenge?
I would think it's deviation.
Deviation, yes, that's right. You must not be intimidated by them. They attack. They never give any quarter in this game.
Well, I don't want to be rude, but I did think...
You must be rude to play the game.
You fit.
So, Magnus, right. You weren't being rude, but you had a good challenge for which you get a point.
Oh, I get a point.
Yes, you get a point. And you also take over the subject...
You're encouraging him, you know.
Hang on. When do I start?
Yes. When I say now.
Oh, right now. Yes, I'll start now. Yes.
No. When I say now, not when you say now. I will tell you first that you have 35 seconds in which to continue, and you start now.
Well, I don't like people who keep fit either, because they tend to be so boring. They're thinking about themselves, and that could be described, could it not? Yes, it could, as omphaloscopy. Now, this particular word means regarding one's navel, and this is a very inelegant posture in which to be. Now, you might say, fit for what? It's no good to notice your navel, Peter. And if you say fit for this, you might be...
Excuse me, can I stop you?
Yes, sir. Have I finished?
No, you haven't finished. No, you've been challenged.
Hesitation.
You've been challenged?
Yes, oh, you hesitated. Definitely.
I was going on a bit about golf.
Yes, you did hesitate between two words, but it wasn't as long as anybody else I've ever known talk, so we don't give it to you. Therefore, you have an incorrect challenge. You get another point for that,
Magnus.
I've got
two now,
yes. You've got two, yes. Don't keep the score to the end, because otherwise there's other things to think about. There are 2 points now to you, and you still have the subject, and you have 13 seconds starting now.
Well, keeping fit, I think, could be described also and applied to thinking. Now, if you want to keep fit about thinking, you just sit in your... Think all... Oh, I've done thinking twice. Have I? Oh, well, all right, then.
May I give you a tip?
Yes.
Don't remind them if you make a mistake, because they might forget it or might not notice it. Just keep going, will you?
Did they notice it?
They did, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As soon as you told them.
Thinking twice, yes.
Peter Jones challenged you. What was your challenge?
Repetition, hesitation, deviation.
I will accept one. Which one do you want to give me?
Well, hesitation.
There was no hesitation.
Oh, good, I didn't
know. Otherwise, he hesitated because he actually apologized for saying thinking twice.
He was not hesitating. He was repeating himself. So, Magnus, you still have the subject and another
Have you got a bet on him or something? It's
5 seconds left, Magnus, starting now.
Well, when I lived in Scotland, I used to keep fit by riding a bicycle furiously for 5 miles and then getting up to nowhere.
Well, as you probably know, Ian Messiter blows a whistle at the end of 60 seconds, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. I don't need to remind you it was Dr. Magnus Pike. And probably I don't need to remind you that he's got all the points in that round. The first time he's ever played the game, he's got a lead of 4 over everybody else at the end of the first round. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? The subject, winning ways. For the listeners at home, I must explain that Kenneth is getting in the mood for the subject by illustrating his his absolutely fantastic profile to the audience. To get into the mood for winning ways, 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, as you can see, I've obviously got winning ways. It can be a reference to personality and getting exactly what you want out of life.
Or we can think of Fleischmann's incredible plan. Or the strategy of Wellington at Waterloo. Winning ways, indeed. On the other hand, you could ask yourself, could this not be equally applied to Epsom Downs? Haven't there been some winning ways there? Ah, I see you nodding your head in agreement, madam. Be careful. It may fall off. But what I mean is, when you come right down to it, it is personality. And personality as Emerson...
Janet Brown has challenged.
He has repeated the word personality.
He did indeed, Janet. Well listened, yes. And you're best to watch him, too.
Oh, yes.
Kenneth...
I'm so taken up with the performance, I forgot everything.
I know. I'm afraid he's taken up with his own performance at the moment. Kenneth... You're rather overacting at the moment, actually. Janet, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that.
Oh,
and you have 12 seconds left to to take up the subject of winning ways, starting now.
Winning ways is something that I've always been interested in, because every day, walking along the street, you generally meet someone with a smile on their face who smiles, oh, dear.
I'm sorry, Kenneth, challenge. Kenneth, you got in just before the whistle. What was it?
There did seem to be a long hesitation, eh?
There was a long hesitation. There was indeed. Jan, I'll give you the same advice I gave Magnus.
Yes.
If you slip up, don't draw their attention. Keep going. You may bluff your way through.
Absolutely.
But I'm afraid Kenneth got in with half a second to go with a hesitation. A point to you, Kenneth. Winning ways, starting now.
Get you the mark. I've got one.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's established, hasn't it? That's established that I've got the marks, hasn't it? How many have I got there?
Two.
Will that put me in the lead?
No, you're exactly half as many as Magnus Pike.
Oh.
Janice got one. Peter Jones has yet to score. Magnus Pike, will you take the next round, please? The subject that Ian Messett has thought of for you is magnet-o-hydrodynamics. Is that magnet-ho?
Magneto-hydrodynamics.
Oh, magneto-hydrodynamics.
Marvellous, isn't it? But the chairman can't even pronounce it.
You try and read it for the first time. Let's see if Magnus Pike can pronounce it. Magnetohydrodynamics. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, this is an example of a compound word, and you get many of these in science. For example, I'll give you an example. DNA is deoxyribose nucleic acid, and that's an example. And cyanocobalamin is vitamin B12, which prevents your getting pernicious anemia if you don't have any of it. DOPA, deoxyphenylalanine, is what makes a white dog have black spots on it. Can I breathe in the middle of it? And then we go on and we have monoamine oxidase inhibitors. Now, these are present when you take them when you get melancholia.
Peter Jones has challenged you. Peter Jones challenged you.
Well, I challenged because I was afraid he might not last the distance.
What was your challenge?
Well, he did repeat one or two things earlier on, which I overlooked, you know, in a burst of generosity. I think peculiar or particular is something he repeated.
Yes, he was a little repetitious, and Peter...
On the other hand, I don't particularly want to talk about...
You've got it now, mate! You've got it!
Oh, shut up!
Go on, Nick.
Well, I'm afraid you've hoisted yourself on your own magnetohydrodynamics.
That's right, Nick. Show your authority. Go on, Nick.
Don't be filthy, please. There are 36 seconds left, Peter, on magnetohydrodynamics, and you start now.
When my mother taught me about this subject...
Magnus, you were challenged.
Yes, there was a lot of hesitation. He said his mother taught him about it, then he was making...
It was just a natural pause, no more than yours.
Has he had a stimulant of some kind?
I don't know. I think he's very
quick
good
off
at the game.
Mark.
Yes, he's very quick off the mark. He's very good in this game. There are 20 seconds left, Peter. A wrong challenge. You have a point for that. Magnetohydrodynamics starting now.
She explained to me that she didn't really know very much about it. She had a friend in Bekuaaland, a pen friend, I should have said, who was corresponding with her. And these tragic lines that she wrote when she came to the end of her entire knowledge of this subject, which was extremely disappointing for me.
So the subject that Peter Jones didn't want of magnetohydrodynamics gained him a considerable number of points, and he's taken the lead at the end of that round. He's one ahead of our authority, Magnus Pike.
I'm sorry about that, because I was going to tell you a lot about hydrodynamics. It's very interesting. One little fellow with his finger can raise a whole motor car, but I can't tell it you now because you...
And one little fellow with his buzzer can stop you dead.
You have a point there.
Yes, and that's what the game's all about. Janet Brown, yes. Your turn to begin. The subject is rushes. There are 60 seconds in which to talk about it, starting rushes. Now.
Rushes, the word itself...
Kenneth Williams has challenged. You rotten so-and-so.
I didn't hesitate, I was drawing breath.
You just joined the game, it's the first time you've been with us. You're sitting there
Must
looking sunburnt and lovely and elegant, and that ruffian beside you dares to challenge.
Yes.
If you did that to him, he would almost clock you one.
Really?
Yes.
Give us a chance.
There are 58 and a half seconds, Janet, to talk about rushes, having got a point for a wrong challenge, starting now.
Well, the word itself conjures up so many memories to me. In fact, in the words of Hilda Baker, I would say, oh, it fills me with neuralgia. You see, when I was a small child, my joy in life was to be taken to Norfolk. And there we would find ourselves holidaying.
Oh, I said
there was
Magnus Pike. Yes.
I beg your pardon?
There.
That's right,
there.
Yes.
Yes, well, I like the word.
But it was a correct challenge, Magnus, yes. And you have 43 seconds on rushes starting now.
It's a curious thing. They attract green fly, you're fine. But what I really wanted to tell you was, when I was in Scotland, when they make the ends of whiskey casks, they actually put rushes between the boards and it stops the whiskey seeping out. Now, I always thought that was a very interesting thing. And I remember one
time... It was a challenge.
Yes, whiskey is mentioned twice.
Oh, yes, you did. You repeated whiskey.
Oh, did I? But it's an interesting point, isn't it? But about the casks.
Yes. 30 seconds for you on rushes, Kenneth, starting now.
When my close-ups come up in the rushes, they say, as the nostrils come into view, oh, it's the Black Wall Tunnel again. And moon...
Janet Browder's challenge.
He hesitated. The Black Wall Tunnel again.
No. He was just taking breath because the audience were responding.
Oh, I must have.
Miss Sharp, straight out the knife box.
Well, she hasn't played it before. She is trying very hard.
I've got my own back somewhere.
No, Janet, I disagree with
no
that.
Good.
Yes,
no,
that,
good.
No good. No, not that one. 18 seconds are left for rushes with you, Kenneth, starting now.
But the great thing about them is we have often to sit and watch them apropos dubbing. Now, this is an incredibly difficult process and one to which no great artist like myself should be there and subjective. Of course.
We have an interesting situation at the end of that round. Kenneth not only got the extra point for speaking when the whistle went, he got others in the round, and he's now equal in the lead with Magnus Pike and Peter Jones. And Janet Brown is a little way behind. Peter Jones, back with you. The subject is hard lines. Would you talk about that in just a minute, starting now?
Hard lines are those things that appear around your mouth and eyes as you go on in life, getting more worried and unhappy and tense. And I noticed Janet Brown said earlier that she walked along the street and she always saw one person who was smiling, which does strike me as a pretty good average, really, particularly if you confine your walks to the West End of London, because it's quite possible...
Kenneth Williams are challenged.
Yes, I got awfully bored by all this rubbish. I think I should come in there, you know, and I should say...
So that. What is your challenge?
Well, I am at boredom. I'm bored.
That's not one of the penalties in this game. You can't be challenged for boredom. You can be as boring as you like, but...
As well you know, and have demonstrated very often.
The subject's still with you, Peter. Hard lines, and there are 39 seconds left, starting now.
Tram lines are some of the hardest lines it's possible to find, apart from the railway variety. And they go round in Glasgow, I think. Are there still trams? I'm not sure.
I think they've done away with
Magnus
them now.
Magnus has challenged.
Yes, they've done away with them.
They've done away with them, yes. I was out there
and
quite
I
recently.
I wanted to say something rather interesting about the wrinkles he was talking about before.
Well, you have a chance now.
Good,
there are 29 seconds for you, Magnus, having got a correct challenge, to take up the subject of hard lines starting now.
Yeah, well, the hard lines on your face are to do with wrinkles, which is to do with senility. As you get older, you get smaller, and your skin gets bigger. And you can tell how old you are by lifting up a piece of skin like that, and the length of time it takes to go down. You see, it takes a very long time with me because I'm quite old. If you're young, it goes down, pink, just like that. And it's very interesting, so your hard lines disappear when you're young.
Kenneth Williams has challenged you three times.
Oh, good. Well, it's an interesting matter, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fascinating.
You'll see all the ladies in the audience picking up their skin and letting it see. And you can tell if you have a girl, if she's not as young as she might be, if she goes down very slowly, she's much older than you.
With horses, you look at the teeth.
Yes, but I so seldom go out with a horse.
If you're a horsey woman, you put your teeth into your skin. Kenneth, you have the correct challenge, and there are 13 seconds on hard lines starting now.
These were given to me at school by masters who said that I was not comporting myself nor studying in the correct fashion. And so I was made to write out hard lines day in and...
Well, Kenneth Williams has increased his lead at the end of that round. He's now one ahead of Peter Jones and Magnus Pike, and Janet Brown's in the same position.
Ah, yes.
And, Kenneth, we're back with you to begin. The subject is Pyramus. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, of course, we all know about this from the play by William Shakespeare, that incredible scene with Bottom and his friends who reenact this charming old story. It actually has its birth in the East and tells of this young Babylonian who was hopelessly in love with Thisbe. And they could only exchange vows between the walls of adjoining houses, talking through a chink, but arranged conspiratorially to meet by the tomb of Ninus under the mulberry tree, which was white. Thereafter follows the most strange saga, for Pyramus arrived first and saw this lion withholding a piece. I meant to get to the point where the mulberry tree turned red.
Red after that. We were all holding our breath at the end, wondering whether you'd make it before you collapsed at the winning post.
The whole point of that is to tell them that the mulberry tree, after the murder, well, not the murder, the suicide, went red. And thereafter, the mulberry fruit has always been red, you see? That is the explanation of the myth, and it's a charming. You know, it's like the echo. I'm in love with the boy, you know, Narcissus, and wasting away because he fell in the water, as you know. And, you know, wasting away, only the voice was left. And so when the voice comes back to you disembodied today, you still say echo. And so you use a word from Greek mythology to describe a completely modern state, which is extraordinary, like the Oedipus complex. It's extraordinary that 20th century physicians have used of an ancient
you know,
word
Sam,
like that.
Kenneth,
you see?
Yes, you're interested too, aren't you? I knew you were. You know, I'll tell you something, you're much better when you're not playing the game. Congratulations, you're now in an even stronger lead. Magnus, back with you, Magnus Pike. The International Candle.
Yes, the International Candle.
That's the subject,
that's what you want me to talk about.
That's the subject, yes, you would like to talk about it.
Tell me when to start, and I'll tell you about the International Candle.
Yes, I will. Yes. Right. Are you ready?
Well, more or less, yes.
Have you got your breath?
Yes, I think so.
Good. Right, you start now.
Well, the International Candle is a way of measuring illumination, and funnily enough, the light you see is different whether you look at it with your eyeball or with a photoelectric cell. And then there is the Purkinje effect, you mustn't forget about that, which shows that when you look at different colours, you see them in different illuminations. And wait a minute, I've got some more things in my notes here. Blindness. Because
I'm sorry, it's too late, Magnus.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
While
you were referring to your mental notes.
The airmen had to eat carrots before they went up shooting down bombers.
Yes, I know.
I
believe during the war it was thanks to you. You started that
well, there was
rumor,
something.
Did you?
Maybe I'll get back here. Who's got the point now?
Your colleague beside you, Peter Jones.
Well, I think so. I mean, I came to the conclusion that he was hesitating because he used the phrase, wait a minute.
Ha ha ha.
Well, it just slipped out.
I think you've made your point, Peter.
Yes, thank you very much.
I give you the challenge and a point and 38 seconds. The international candle, starting now.
Well, the international candle is red, white and blue and Jewish at one end. I don't know.
Oh, no, that's not right. Sure.
Magnus! What is your challenge?
I think that's a deviation and an inaccuracy, too.
Well, his international candle may be red, white, and blue and Jewish at one end.
But isn't it a defying thing that you get out of a textbook, not out of a...
Well, in my world of knowledge, it is. And obviously in yours, we know that without... But in Peter's, if he can sustain this particular point, he's got another 31 seconds in which...
Oh, well, I wouldn't press the point.
Starting now.
Yes, carry on.
Probably on sale. Are you ready?
Yes.
Probably on sale in Hong Kong, that great melting pot where all the countries...
If it's a melting pot, the candle would have melted and then you wouldn't have
it. We'll give you a point for a very good challenge on that.
Oh,
he wasn't actually deviating from
his
international candle, not the international candle. He has 22 seconds to continue starting now.
No doubt, all the various nations...
Starting now, well, it's like this, you see, when you look...
No, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right. I do understand.
You've got a bonus point for
a good
challenge, but I left the subject with Peter.
Oh, I didn't understand you.
No, I know you.
I got it quite
well. You're being very fair to him, I think, Nicholas.
Oh, yeah. I'm still trying to get back with his character.
Yes, I know you are. Yes, it's Muhammad Ali and Norton all over again.
So Peter's now reeling on the ropes a little, and he has 19 seconds on the international candle, starting now.
And these various people all probably make suggestions about ways in which it could be altered and adapted to their own use in their own various countries.
Kenneth Williams.
Own twice, I can't.
Yes, you're right, Kenneth. There are 10 seconds.
That was a three-letter word.
I know, but he's...
I know, he's desperate.
Look desperate.
Yes.
Always. 10 seconds, Kenneth. The international candle, starting now.
This is something about which Dr. Magnus Pike obviously knows more than anybody else on this stage tonight.
Janet Brown.
He has repeated the word this twice.
Oh, well, we don't actually bother too
much
with this.
Oh, we don't?
No,
I stopped him again.
I know Peter said the three-letter word, but own is a very positive word. This we occasionally let them...
Own is positive, and this...
I
want to get it right. Own is a positive word, and this isn't. Is that right?
Don't you start. Chairman is a marvellous chairman, a fair chairman, and you go a long way to find his equivalent. We all know you got chucked off 20 questions. He's gone red. We know why. We know what he got up to with the no wind, don't worry. Yes. He's got a drink of water now, look.
Very unfair.
Well, I tried...
Below the belt, that was.
Yes, I try to balance it out as much as I can. And, Janet, it was a correct challenge, so as you brought our attention to it, I have to award it to you and tell you you have 3 seconds to take up the international candle, starting now.
I feel that Kenneth Williams is absolutely right when he said...
Sorry about that. You missed a very nice bit about hemeralopia that I was going to tell you about if I got back in again.
Oh, I only had that recently.
It has to do with not eating enough carrots and having night blinders, but no matter. Perhaps I can bring it in a later question.
Well, yes. I shan't stop you, and I don't think the chairman's likely to.
The next subject's the Loch Ness Monster. You might be able to work it in there somewhere. But this is the sad thing about this game, Magnus. You see, if you lose the subject, which is obviously your own personal subject, you don't bring out some gems that you would love to impart to us all. Alas, you were thwarted there. Kenneth has got another point. He's increased his lead. And the situation the same. Then Peter Jones, then Magnus Pike, and then Janet Brown. And Janet, back with you to begin the subject, as I said, the Loch Ness Monster. 60 seconds, starting now.
The Loch Ness Monster. Now, this always brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. Partly because, being Scottish and living most of my earlier years in Scotland, I remember very clearly sitting in the kitchen one day when my mother said to me, "If you do not eat up your porridge, I will see that the Loch Ness Monster bites your head off." It scared the wits out of me. I thought to myself, this I must do. I must consider this plateful in front of me, and I simply must keep going. Well, of course, my mother mother was very right in the way that she conducted herself, and naturally I felt very fearful of the fact that if the Loch Ness Monster did get hold of me, I would be left lying on the floor, headless. Well, this was something I simply would not have enjoyed, because then no longer could I tackle the porridge. This, of course, again...
Oh, wait a minute, she said porridge twice.
Yeah, but you didn't challenge.
Well, I just pressed the button.
No, but Peter's light came on. It meant he challenged first, I'm afraid.
Oh, did you? You're very quick.
Well... Thanks very much.
What's that?
Porridge. It wasn't very quick, but it was quicker than him.
Yes, because she had said it three times before.
Yeah. Well, I know, yes. Well, I let the first porridge
go
by.
But as the chairman, are you on my side, really? I mean, bringing up these little...
Yes, I am on your side.
You are for
but
me,
when you
you
repeat one or two things more than once,
yes.
I can't.
Yes, only I know so little.
I want you to continue, because I thought you were just about to rival Magnus Pike in the pace
it's
of your delivery.
It's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, when it's the first time, you want to... Yes,
but, I mean,
they go very fast, don't they?
You've got all the sympathy of the audience, but I'm afraid I have to be fair to Peter. It
well, I think you do terribly well, Nicholas. I would like to take this opportunity of saying that. I think you try to be unfair to everybody equally.
Peter, you have 16 and a half seconds on the Loch Ness Monster.
How many?
16 and a half.
Oh, yes.
On the Loch Ness Monster, if you can stand the strain, starting now.
I think of the still unquiet bride... Of, no, I...
Oh, she said, yes, she said, then.
Janet's quite pressed her buzzer. If you want to get in, Magnus, you must press your buzzer.
Yes, I do, because I've something interesting to say about Scottish tourism, but never mind.
But I'm afraid Janet got in first, and there are 11 seconds.
I mean, it's extraordinary there that they have all these tourists in Scotland looking at nothing, isn't it? Only the Scots would have thought of that,
well,
because
they do
there's
that
nothing
quite,
there to see.
But tourists do that very often. They look at nothing.
Are you going to tell us more than 16 seconds?
Look at nothing, yes.
Oh, you used up some of them. We can't. How many seconds are there now?
It was devastating. I'm absolutely. Yes. But Janet, the subject is the Loch Ness Monster. There are 11 seconds, starting now.
The first day that I was asked to go on location, and I said, where is it going to be? And they said, Loch Ness. Well, I was absolutely amazed. I thought, here is my childhood coming back to me once again. And perhaps this time, I'm going...
So, Janet Brown got the Loch Ness Monster back again.
Oh, dear.
What?
Just to do with
Janet Brown got the Loch Ness Monster back again. She got a point for speaking when the whistle went, and we have no more time, so I'll now give you the final score. It was a very close contest. Magnus Pike and Janet Brown playing the game for the first time against these two experienced, what shall I call them, troubadours, competitors, exponents, anyway, of the game. They came equal, which is very fair, in third place, but only 3 points behind Kenneth Williams, who slipped at the post. Peter Jones got in, and by 1 point, he is our winner this week, Peter Jones. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week, when once again, four of us will take to the air with the chairman and play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.